I would just like to wind up by saying that, yes, this is propaganda against Trump that you're seeing. Some of it's true, some of it's bogus. It is coming from the deep state. It kind of reveals the sort of society that we actually live in and who maintains the powers that be and who the powers that be are. And they aren't necessarily the officials that you've elected. So pay attention to that. And once again, there are articles and information and even posters in the street coming out about the general strike on January 20th. So stay tuned for more information on that. And you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, going out to you via 90.7 FM on our transmitter on the hill, other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Hello out there, listen to KBOO FM 90.7 times 10:01. And next you have Flashpoints, then 11 you have Between the Covers, 11:30 you got Words and Pictures.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st, after the Women's March, starting at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club in Portland. This 21 and over event features Jen O of Strange Babes, KBOO's DJ Anjali, and Casual Aztec, as well as performances and more. Again, that's Next Level, a benefit dance party on Saturday, January 21st at 8 p.m. at the Jade Club, 315 Southeast 3rd Avenue in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will be hosting a Valentine's Day special. We will be reading your Valentine's shoutouts to your friends and loved ones. So whether you are locked up or your loved one is, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention, Prison Pipeline. And email is kbooppc@gmail.com. Then tune in and have your loved one tune in on Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read live.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Inner Boy Workshop at the Portland Underground Grad School on Saturday, January 14th. Marking the first anniversary of David Bowie's death, they'll look at illuminating moments in his career for inspiration to break through creative blocks and make work that shatters convention. Bowie's intense energy flowed into any media available, from page to song, stage to film, to canvas. What source did he tap? Join them and find your inner Bowie. Again, that's Saturday, January 14th, at Southeast Uplift, 3534 Southeast Main Street, More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Turn on the thin white tube, throwing darts in lovers' eyes.
Today on Flashpoints, ExxonMobil chief heading for the top job at the U.S. State Department. Also, we'll have an in-depth look at the possibilities of setting up a public bank in California to deal with the massive new cash flow from the marijuana industry. And an encore broadcast of our Fight the Power commentary by Flashpoint senior producer Miguel Gavilan Molina. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we turn our attention back to the hearings. Well, Rex Tillerson is still testifying, testified again today to be Trump's next Secretary of State. And, well, it looks like he was getting an easy ride. There was a lot of respect, a lot of compliments, a few tough sessions of questioning, but does not look like this guy is in trouble. Joining us to talk about his history and the implications of the head of ExxonMobil to be the next Secretary of State is David Arkush. He is the Managing Director of Public Citizens Climate Program. Welcome to Flashpoints.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Why don't you, I think we need to start off with a bit of a background on the history and some of the work that this guy has been engaged in. What do we need to know about him? Tell us something about him.
Okay, well, he has worked for Exxon his entire career. He went to work for them in 1975. And eventually became the CEO. He was the CEO for the last 10 years. And during his time, before his time and during his time running the company, Exxon has engaged in just any number, dozens probably, of egregious acts, things that involve directly flouting U.S. foreign policy. The company has cozied up to dictators and terrible human rights abusers. And, of course, the company, some of the most recent allegations are that the company knew about climate change and how fossil fuels cause climate change since the 1970s. But, of course, as everyone knows, has been funding efforts to deny, obfuscate the truth, and sow doubt and confusion about climate change since at least the mid-'80s.
All right, since the 1970s, how did they know?
Exxon is a very, takes its science very seriously, right? Finding oil around the world and digging it up is a serious operation. Exxon has great engineers on staff, great scientists on staff, and it's a very analytical company. And in the 70s, they started studying this question, which was already out there, about whether fossil fuels would lead to global warming. And I think it was by about 1977, they have internal memos from their own scientists saying, yeah, this is a serious problem. It's going to be a serious issue, and the company needs to figure out how to respond and what kind of policy interventions are going to be necessary, how the company might have to evolve, those sorts of things. And, of course, instead of trying to solve the problem or figuring out how to adapt, the company eventually decided just to invest in denying the problem.
Well, now, he was asked, I guess it was today, earlier today, or was it yesterday? So many people testifying. He was asked about whether he thought that climate change, global warming was a problem, and he said, sort of, I guess you could say it is, but we don't know much about it. Could that be an honest answer given the research starting in the 1970s?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's such a strong scientific consensus right now about climate change. Basically, his answers amounted to sort of denial under oath on the stand.
Well, but his company has known. He was the head for 10 years, so I assume he knew about that research. So I'm just trying to think if it was an honest, could it possibly be that he was confused, or the company, you're saying the company did have the information and he should have known?
Well, when he's, I mean, if you're asking when he said today that, first of all, he did reaffirm, he has said publicly that he does believe climate change is real, that there's a real risk, and that it's serious enough that we ought to be responding somehow. But that's as much as you'll get out of him. So beyond that, he says, well, we don't really know for sure
how bad it is.
That global warming is caught. Not only do we not know for sure how bad it is, I mean, he has said, well, maybe we can adapt. And today he actually said, he actually denied that global warming, that climate change is related to the increased probability of extreme weather. Right? He actually, which I think you'd be hard pressed to find 5 or 10% of Americans who agree with him on that point. He basically, you know, when asked about droughts, hurricanes, severe storms, all of the weather changes that we're all noticing, he said that it's inconclusive that there's more extreme weather because of climate change. It's just a ridiculous position.
Now, I've done a lot of writing on Burma, on Indonesia. We've done a lot of reporting on that. ExxonMobil has some interesting interests in Asia. Could you talk about that?
Well, Exxon has been Exxon operates in roughly 200 countries around the world, which is, you know, most of them. Rex Tillerson has been clear in interviews that he doesn't draw a lot of lines, if any, in terms of who Exxon is willing to work with. Basically, the company's view is whatever is good for producing more oil, whatever is good for company profits, is what they will do. And they don't draw any lines in terms of who they'll work with, whether it's a terrible dictator, whether it's a human rights abuser. And, of course, they've got a terrible record of working with all of those types.
Well, you have to give us a couple of examples. How terrible? Who has he worked with? Did he always know that he was working with a mass murderer? Tell us a little bit more about the relationships.
It's hard to imagine otherwise, right? The company is, in some of their deals, they're some country's largest source of income. The oil deals that they've worked out. One of his best buddies, of course, is apparently Putin. And you would have to be living under a rock not to know that Putin is an authoritarian, that Russia has been engaged in egregious acts internationally. In fact, Tillerson today was condemning some of Russia's actions, like when it invaded Ukraine and annexed some of Ukraine's territory. Tillerson now is saying that those were bad actions, and he's saying the problem was the United States didn't react strongly enough. Of course, at the time, he was lobbying against even having sanctions against Russia for those actions because he was running ExxonMobil.
What are the kinds of questions that you would like to hear answered? He said he's going to, I don't know exactly what the linguistics was, but he's putting his money, he's going blind, he's going to make sure there are no conflicts of interest. Are you happy based on the announcements around that? Has he done enough?
Not really. I'm not happy about them. There are a couple of problems. One is the way he got her, he had this problem where he has around $180 million worth of stock, Exxon stock, that is supposed to go to him over the next 10 years. Of course, that's a problem because we don't want a Secretary of State who has an interest in Exxon's stock price being high, you know, has a direct financial interest in that. So he struck a deal with Exxon that's supposed to resolve that problem. And what it did was it cashes out his stock, puts it in a trust, and then I think the trust is only supposed to be invested in like U.S. government bonds, that sort of thing, and then he gets paid out of that trust over time. There are a couple of problems. One is he's definitely getting special treatment from Exxon in a way that sort of violates the company's own compensation policies. Basically, the company worked very hard with him to find a way to get $180 million to him right before he becomes Secretary of State. That's an extraordinary payment, and it's an extraordinary deal. You know, if they just outright gave him $180 million, we'd certainly look askance at that going into the government. And this has a bit of that stink. Second of all, there's a funny provision in the agreement that's actually there's sort of a discrepancy. Exxon filed agreements with the SEC commemorating this deal, and they filed two things. One is an agreement between Tillerson and Exxon, and the other is an agreement between Exxon and a company that will manage this trust. And the deal between Tillerson and Exxon says that if Tillerson goes back to the oil and gas industry at any point within the next 10 years, he'll forfeit the remaining money in the trust that hasn't been paid out to him. That sounds pretty good. But the agreement that actually sets up the trust, Exxon's agreement with the trustee, says that he will only forfeit the money remaining in the trust if he goes back to any company other than Exxon in the next 10 years. That's a really important difference. We need to know which
right.
one of those.
It's what you call an escape clause.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he certainly has an interest, a financial interest in Exxon. If it is the only company in the industry that he's worked in for his entire career that he can go back to and still get this massive multi-million-dollar payout. We haven't seen a satisfactory answer to that yet. And I was a little surprised to see that the senators didn't ask about it today, but they only had so much time, frankly.
Well, that's true, and they really did see, you did see a lot of demurring, a lot of fast-talking people who seemed, senators who seemed very nervous about who they were questioning and were treading lightly, shall we say, given the power of this man. Now, what people say is this, his experience with 200 companies and his work abroad makes him the perfect candidate for